Welcome to Raw is Jericho! Believe in the shit!
I am the best in the world.
Oh, yeah!
Welcome to another edition of the ReviewFix.com Wrestling Podcast. This is Patrick, the Caucasian sensation, White Thunder Hickey, joined by the always sensational, the Russian toehold dropping, Japanese arm drag swirling, Superman of Hispanic proportions, Juan de Jesus.
First Puerto Rican move, arm bar. Third Puerto Rican move, arm bar.
Oh my god. It's
like still one of the best little promos I've seen. It's just that giant roll of dot matrix paper that we know was not filled with anything. And the confused look on people's faces as he goes from number 26 to number 700 after the
commercial. And to the commercial. That's what I was going to say. Like, everyone that was watching on TV thought that, like, during the commercial he was reading all of them, but in reality he wasn't doing crap. So.
Oh, man. I just suspended this belief, people, because we're in the Wrestle Zone. I'm trying anything right now. I've had a long week. I've had family at home. I just need some wrestling in my life.
I think we all need a little wrestling in our lives, but I think what we don't need is a lot of the basura we saw on Monday Night Raw this week.
Very, very, very lackluster show all around. Bad booking. I believe they just have to go ahead and trust some of the younger guys. Trust the mid-card guys to fill out the show. You don't have to start every hour with a talking segment. It's getting old. It's getting old fast.
Where's Kofi?
I don't know. He's still reeling from that knockout that Cesaro hit him with on Main Event.
Where are all these like mid-card guys that they could actually use, that they could get some mileage out of? Even Ryback. Throw Ryback in the middle of it.
He's injured right now, right? So he underwent some hernia surgery. He had a sports hernia.
His balls, yeah.
Yeah, his ball spot.
Oh, my God. I used to love when Bulls Mahoney would come out in ECW. I don't know if you were a big ECW guy.
I was.
He would come out and be like, Bulls, Bulls, Bulls. Like, what? And then this big, disgusting man would come out and he just cracked the shit out of everybody with chairs.
You know what? That's like on NXT, Bull Dempsey. Every time they go Bull, I hear the Balls Mahoney.
Yep.
Man,
yep.
And I just want to see the chair shot to the face.
What, to Bull Dempsey?
Yeah, I mean, why not? Those two would be great together if we're going to fantasy book.
Oh, absolutely. Bull and Bulls. B double.
Can you just imagine?
B squared.
Imagine the whole crowd interaction.
And Bull Buchanan to be their manager.
Oh, man.
Remember B squared when he was with John Cena? Oh, my God, that was awful. He was good, though. He was like a white Booker T.
You know, now that you bring that up, and you bring up the whole Professor Thugonomics thing, do you think Dean Ambrose has any mileage left out of this unstable gimmick?
I think that's the only gimmick he has. I think if he's going to have a run at all, it's going to be because of that gimmick. It's kind of like it is Johnny Moxley, but it is not at the same time. It's like a watered-down version. But let's be fair here. Doesn't the WWE usually take somebody from the indie scene that's been really good and kind of water down their act to make it more PG anyway?
But do you think he can make a run as a face with this personality? Because it doesn't fit in the PG scheme.
It doesn't, but he's kind of like this comic relief character at the same time, like the whole watching Seeing No Evil the other day, you know? Like the whole slime. So it's like he could be a badass that like 30-somethings can appreciate because they know he's being toned down. But then little kids and like young teenagers could be like, oh, he's so cool, he slimed him. He's watching Seeing No Evil. Oh my God, oh my God. You know?
But do you think, I mean, do you think he could be a main event star with this gimmick?
Yeah, I think so. But the thing that I don't like is why all of a sudden did the Dirty Deeds become a double arm DDT?
I don't know when that happened.
It just happened.
Yeah.
They didn't tell us. We didn't get the fucking memo, man.
And you wonder what's... And you're not the only one that's brought this up. You know, we're on a Facebook group. I know you're part of that Facebook group. And everyone started saying that.
It's a double arm DDT is your finisher, bro? That's a setup move.
Just, maybe he's going to show something new at Hell in a Cell.
Give him a submission hold, too, on top of it. Any guy that's going to be, like, a legit star in this business needs a submission finisher and a regular finisher.
What would you give him?
Oof. I don't know.
I'm a fan of the Muda Lock.
I love that move, too.
But it's hard. It's or kneeling Muda Lock. You know, something that fits with the unstable personality.
You know
something
what it is, too?
You're making the guy suffer a little bit.
The Dragon Sleeper is a move that isn't used that much anymore.
He could try it.
He could try it.
He could try it. I don't know. Vince is like, I don't like it.
He's a small guy. So he's not going to be able to do, like, you know, something like a Brock Lock or a Torture Rack or anything like that. So he's got to use something that's, like, that's unique and works for his size. Or what's the submission that Austin Aries does? The second Chancery. It's like, it's awesome, dude. It's like a, it's an inverted deathlock.
Okay. Well, you know, yeah, but then you know, you'll have all the TNA guys go like, oh, well, he's just stealing from TNA.
They oh, like what, from each other. What Cody Rhodes does and steals everybody's fucking finisher. Cody Rhodes doing the muscle buster. Cody Rhodes doing this. Cody Rhodes doing that.
Don't forget the little gloves from AJ Styles.
Yep, I agree. That's completely AJ Styles. Let's talk about, before we get to Hell in the Cell.
AJ Styles.
Dude, I love AJ Styles. I can watch AJ Styles work all the fucking time, and it's a shame that American fans have no fucking clue what's going on in New Japan. Like, the main faction in New Japan Pro Wrestling is...
The Bullet Club.
The shit.
Yeah.
You don't mess with the Bullet Club.
No, because they just fucking pump... They're the NWO right at the height
yep.
of their popularity. And they've managed to stay over in a market that gets over people really quickly. And I find that to be amazing.
Sorry, my phone died.
It's all right.
All right. So we'll just edit that little part out. You know what the thing that I like about the Bullet Club is? That they were able to seamlessly go from Prince Devitt to AJ Styles.
And, yeah, but you want to know what it is? That's a huge hole that you have to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And why not fill it with one of one of the better guys that you have coming out of the American indie scene.
It's almost like an upgrade.
It is, but you know, because Devitt, from what I've seen, has been a little one-dimensional. AJ Styles, you know, he could talk a lot better. He's got that whole, the phenomenal AJ Styles thing going. He's got the cockiness. He's had the championships. He's had the Grand Slams in TNA. You know, so, and I think he also held the titles, the TNA titles, when they were also the NWA titles.
Yeah, he did. He was an NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
So, he's got the pedigree to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people want to consider the NWA an entity, which I think they should, and it's a conversation we should have one day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a guy who's legit. And you go onto YouTube and you type in the moves of AJ Styles. You could choose from 150, 25, or 10, right? And some of them are just standards, like, you know, the planchas and everything else. But he's got, you know, he's got phenomenal moves. He's an amazing athlete. He's good on the mic.
Underrated, you know, on the mic, I think.
Well, you know what? He held his own against Ric Flair.
And TNA's writing was just awful, that, like, nobody was getting stuff that they could work with in TNA.
Which makes it even more amazing that he got over as much as he did from what I've read and the little that I found online. You know, the guy's an amazing athlete. They really did miss the boat on this one. I really wish they would reconsider it. And if they want to keep New Japan at bay, why not start raiding the Bullet Club itself? I mean, you've already taken Devitt. You might as well go for everyone else.
This is the thing, too. I'm not sure if you know about this, but at Bound for Glory, when they were in Japan, Bully Ray, like, challenge the Bullet Club on that pay-per-view.
Huh. Well, no. You know what? It's really sad that that I wasn't interested in the pay-per-view at all. And that's their WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that and Slammiversary. Those are their two big shows. You're right.
You know, and it really shows that Spike doesn't believe in her product.
Oh, it was a standard pay-per-view. It wasn't even a TV pay-per-view. They did an actual real pay-per-view. I haven't seen the buy rates yet, but I kind of don't want to see them. And then they didn't even have a world title match. No Lashley. What? No,
Don't worry. That's going to happen at another company's pay-per-view coming on in just a week.
Yep.
Which is sad. I mean, what's the state of the American version of the industry when you have two pay-per-views for two of the top companies in the industry not having a world title being defended?
Yeah.
I mean, there have been pay-per-views where the world title is not the main event. But it is still defended at the pay-per-view.
Absolutely, I agree. It's kind of like, what was it, the SummerSlam in Wembley, when they ended with Davey Boy Smith and Bret Hart for the IC title, and that's one of the greatest matches of all time.
And it was just a nicely worked match.
Yep.
You know, not a lot of bumps, but a lot of good technical wrestling, and, you know, Davey Boy Smith, you know, it really is a shame. You know, and his son, you know... I'm kind of sad that I didn't get to see more, and what I did see was not that great. It was at the tail end of the new Hart Foundation, and it was just—it's pretty much a shame.
Yeah, I don't think he—I don't think he had the goods. I think Tyson Kidd is amazing, but anytime you're involved in like this, it's like Total Divas is like the herpes of professional wrestling. Once you've been infected by it, it's stuck with you the rest of your career. That's why now Paige is going to be on Total Divas next season.
Not just Paige, but the crazy Alicia Fox. I'm fine with Alicia Fox, but why would you put
Paige,
your second legitimate... Are they going to give Emma a push?
I don't know.
Because you've taken away another person. You can't mix her up in storylines, even though Stephanie McMahon has gone on a record saying that that is not true at all. But we all know that the storylines just won't match up.
This is the thing, too, with Alicia Fox, man. I remember I was watching the Best of SmackDown the other day, that Edge and Christian awesome 15-year spectacular thing. And, like, Alicia Fox's, like, intro into the company was, like, Vicky Guerrero and Edge's, like, wedding planner.
Yeah.
And, dude, she was beautiful. What the hell happened?
You know, cocaine's a hell of a drug. I'm joking. I don't mean that at all.
I don't know if she got some bad work done or something.
I don't know. I think, you know, sometimes people age and you take enough shots to the face. Things happen. I mean, I'm just saying.
It was like 7 years ago. It's like, I mean, I don't know, man. Her face just looks so different. It's like, what happened? You were like a 9. And now, I mean, she's got an amazing body. She's in great shape. She's very underrated in the ring, but it's like, what happened to your face?
Did you see that kick up Frankenstein that she did a week ago?
Dude, she's super underrated, Alicia Fox, in the ring. But she can't get a gimmick. She can't get a gimmick that works.
I mean, but whose fault? Is that her fault? It's both.
Yeah, it's both.
Let me take that back. Because you could define yourself.
Absolutely.
In
I mean, Stone Cold could have been Baron Von Frost. You know?
Yeah. You know, just the gimmicks, they're not working for me. The only one that's working is Mizdow,
which is a pisser. Holy crap, he's funny, man.
And this whole Sheamus thing—you can honestly see that he wasn't completely on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he hit him a little bit harder with that clothesline than he had to.
Oh yeah.
Knocked the wig off, which I thought was hilarious. I mean, you can plan for that.
What did he look like, Mr. the Muppet, the Beakle, or whatever? What the hell is his name?
Beaker?
Beaker. Dude, he looked like fucking Beaker with that red wig on, man. Oh, my God.
Now, since we're talking about titles not being defended.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Let's finish with Raw first. The start. You know, you have the whole stipulations coming out. And they hit you with the no holds barred contract on a fall match. What's going on? What do you think?
It's kind of like when your wife or your girlfriend, not my wife and not my girlfriend, but when a wife or a girlfriend, see, I have to preface this very, very smartly, tells you, oh, just do me a favor, I have to go shopping, and if you go shopping with me and, like, you don't complain and you do everything that you have to do, like, I'll give you a surprise later. So your mind is racing the entire day as you go into Victoria's Secret and Forever 21, and you watch her get her nails done, and you go to every single freaking store in the mall, and then the surprise ends up being, like, ice cream. That's not the surprise you were looking for. So it's like, we knew that this pay-per-view could not be just those two matches with nothing extra added in. There had to be a surprise. But I didn't want no ice cream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Randy Orton wins that match and he fights Brock Lesnar. Randy Orton face turns. Could be interesting. He's not beating Brock Lesnar.
There's not enough time for the face turn to happen.
Yeah, no way. If Cena wins, which he probably will, which is going to be a great match, but Cena's not going to win either.
Which is the sad part is, you're just setting up people to lose. Why don't you just give him someone else?
Yeah.
You know?
But the thing is, who else is he going to wrestle?
I don't know. Give other people a shot. This is something, and this goes back to the main event. After he pulled on that contract, that is the main event at Hell in a Cell. Why are you professing this dual main event thing? It doesn't exist. Two matches can't go on at once, and if they do, they're going to split the crowd. Someone's not going to be interested in one match.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the reason I hate when young wrestling fans go, oh, they should have a triple threat match. Oh, they should have a fatal four-way match. That means that the bookers go, shit, we're not going to be able to draw enough money with just these two guys, so let's throw as many pieces of shit in the ring at the same time and see if something hits. The double main event is the WWE's way of going, you know what? Cena and Orton isn't going to, for nothing, because a meaningless title shot against Lesnar, that's exactly what it is. It's fucking meaningless, means nothing. That's not going to draw a buy rate. And then they've been trying to, like, build up the heat for Seth Rollins to get his ass kicked, but that's not enough to get a buy rate either, because there's no, if the IC title or the US title was at stake, that would probably spice it up a little bit more, but it's still not enough to draw a buy rate. So again, you have two big pieces of shit and some ice cream, you mix it all together, you get a big ice cream shit sundae.
It sounds like you're a little ticked off at this. Is this pay-per-view just shaping up to be a placeholder? Because if that's the case, don't have the pay-per-view. Save yourself the money. Spend it on talent. Spend it in other areas.
And this is the thing, though, too. The only reason why we have 12 pay-per-views a month is because Eric Bischoff was like, all right, how do I make as much money as possible? How do I keep all of my huge roster that I have busy? And how do I continue to make sure that these guys make more money than people in the WWE? That's the reason why we have 12 pay-per-views. WWE could get away with having Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series.
But that's the way it was when we were kids.
And it would be better that way now. And what they should do, if they were smart, they would have those four events, and then in between those four events, they have four NXT events. So you have 8 events a year, 4 NXT events, 4 WWE events, 8 pay-per-views a year, booyakasha, whatever.
I mean, the NXT stuff is starting to, an NXT takeover card is looking more interesting than Hell in a Cell.
Absolutely. I agree. Dude, if you told me that NXT was on right now and, like, the Void Villains were fighting, like, the Lucha Dragons, I would run my fat ass downstairs to watch that match. That would be fun stuff. If you told me that Baron Corbin was going to fight, like, Sami Zayn or something, yeah, I would run down the stairs. I would rather watch that.
They got to let that guy fight.
I agree.
I understand the squashes. I understand it.
But they did the same thing with Mojo Rawley. They did the same thing with Bull Dempsey. They did the same thing with all these guys. Squash, squash, squash. The Ascension. Squash, squash, squash. And what happens? Nothing. These guys are nothing.
They can't. They're not. All these rumors of them being called up. You know, you took the titles from the Ascension after the longest reign of any NXT championship.
The reason why they took the belts from them, too, is because they weren't over. They really weren't, when you think about it. They would just come out and kill.
They beat everyone.
Yeah. But they never really had a match. Should be over. I would have loved for, like, the Void villains to, like, to have beaten them, like, cheated or whatever, and have won, and then have, like, them versus, like, I love Enzo Amore and Cassidy. I think those guys are the most well-rounded tag team in NXT. Possibly the entire WWE.
Doing all the wrestling and then just throwing Enzo on top of people?
Yeah. But they have a shtick, and it works. It's like the same thing. The Void villains, they're not the most charismatic, but their gimmick works for them, and they're able to get it done in the ring. They're very smooth. Better than the Usos.
Much, you know what? Much better than the Usos. Much better. Aiden English. Dude, he's got the goods.
He's a poor man Cesaro, and a poor man Cesaro is better than most of the talent in the WWE.
Which is sad, because you said about Tyson Kidd earlier in the episode. Come on. He's had such good matches there, where he loses and he puts younger talent over.
Yep.
And you watch those matches, and they're both getting over.
Oh, yeah.
Whether the crowd wants to or not, he has some high spots.
Absolutely.
You know, that match against Adrian Neville where he lost all chance of a title opportunity, when Neville hit him with that powerbomb, it mm-hmm. looked like his neck cracked in half.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just amazing. I'm like, ah. Then you see him against Jack Swagger, and he has moments of brilliance.
Yep.
But nobody in the crowd cares. Who the hell is Tyson Kidd?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't seen him in a year.
This is the thing that I have to say. Every week I do the power rankings for NXT, and the only reason why Tyson Kidd usually isn't on it is because I put him on a different level than all of those guys. Why would I put him on the NXT power rankings when he's a former WWE tag team champion and a legit guy?
He doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
If he really was on an NXT roster, he should be wearing the belt.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I like Neville a lot.
So do I.
I like Sami Zayn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But you put him, or like we discussed last week, Damian Sandow, down in NXT, they will demolish these people.
Yep, I agree.
And it's not that they're bad, it's just that the experience,
mm-hmm.
right, their ability to play with the crowd. You know, this whole Natty's husband thing, it works in with his psychology. You know, and unfortunately, if you're watching Total Divas, the guy is not super bright outside of the ring. This is his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little absent-minded, and it just works for me when he's in there, and people react the way he kind of wants them to react. He wants them to scream that, because that's the character he's playing. So, I don't know why he can't do it for a much bigger crowd.
I agree. Dude, I would love to see Tyson Kidd versus Bobby Roode for, like, the TNA World Heavyweight title. I'd watch that.
But, you know what's the sad part is, do these guys have to leave after being basically on top? Do you have to leave to be a big fish in a small pond?
I mean, think about it. How many people did it benefit? How many people have benefited from going to TNA, getting a run with the title, and then coming back? Christian would have never been a world heavyweight title, world heavyweight champion in WWE if he wasn't a world heavyweight champion at TNA.
True. Okay. I mean, but then you have people that don't make the transition. I mean, look, you think Sting, you know, we talk about Sting now, his whole possibility. Sting's TNA run, do you think it was that good? I've seen some of it.
I don't think it was that good. I think it was okay. There was a lot of stupid shit. Like, his whole, like, Joker run could have been amazing. And I remember I got in, you're going to laugh your ass off when I tell you this, but I got in, like, a Twitter war with Matt Morgan about it. And, because really? I wrote, I was like, is Sting a heel? Is he a face? What the hell is this supposed to be? And Matt Morgan's like, duh, he's a face. And I'm like, really? He's wearing Joker face paint and he's running around screaming like a madman. And he's like reverse DDT and good guys, faces. Like, TNA had no idea what they were doing. They were trying to just cash in on the Batman franchise. And that could have went over big time because he was losing his hair, he was older, and he had done it all and had been through a lot of shit in the storyline before then. It could have been great for him, but they messed it up. They screwed it up. And before that, the main event Mafia, you have them walking around with no face paint on, with him, Booker T, Kevin Nash, all these old guys, Kurt Angle, and they're just like, you know, they think they're the shit. Scott Steiner, and they're not wrestling. They're just talking a lot. When he first came in, some of the matches he had with Christian, though, in like 2005, 2006, that was some good stuff. That made Christian. Somebody in the WWE saw that and was like, you know what? If he could work like that with Sting, we need to bring him back eventually, and he could work a program. And that's how he became ECW champion, and that's how he became, you know, world heavyweight champion.
And I saw the matches against Randy Orton, you know.
Some, in 2011. Yeah.
Those were great matches.
Dude, Christian's a worker. Christian's good.
And what a way to become an instant scumbag, right?
Yep.
Like that one match where Randy Orton couldn't get DQ'd, he spit in his face.
Yep.
And he just riled him up to the point where it was just like, that's it. You know, he just like, referee's like, I'm going to DQ you, which I think it was Scott Robinson or something. You know, with his overly loud voice.
Oh, yeah, Charles Robinson. He's got the best hair in the business.
Oh, man. I just want to work with Hogan. But I think it's a problem that has become apparent. And we keep talking about this, but it's because it keeps popping up every week. You're not giving people enough time to play with ideas before dropping them. I mean, look at the whole Xavier Woods. Where has he been? You know, the whole Xavier Woods.
Ton of charisma.
Big E.
Ton of charisma. Big E. Big E is a great bruiser. He'd still be good in that role, but like Xavier Woods has a ton of charisma. He's super athletic. Again, I agree with the whole...
Like you told me, former X Division champion.
Yep. Yeah, as Consequences, Creed, and TNA. You throw the three of those guys together, it'll work. But then, see, this is the whole thing. You have Michael Hayes with his racist comments to Mark Henry, and then you throw three African-American wrestlers together, and people automatically start talking. When, truth be told, those three guys work very, very well together, and regardless of their skin color, could be a very, very effective mid-card trio. But, you know, since we're all overly sensitive and, you know, you can't throw three African-American guys together in a faction, God forbid, you know, then it's just a mess. And I just farted. That's what I thought of that whole booking decision.
Well, let's take a look at the card.
Mm-hmm.
And see what's going on here. The Hell in a
Cell card.
The pre-show, again.
Oh, my God.
The home for the WWE Tag Team Championship, apparently. It is no longer a main show championship, but a pre-show championship. What do you think? What do you think? Why even have the championship if you're not even going to defend it on your paper?
I thought the pre-show was supposed to be Miz and Mizdow.
It is. It has been expanded from half an hour into 1 hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Who wants to watch 4 hours of this?
Well, you know what? Do it for WrestleMania.
Oh, my God.
Why not do it for Hell in a Cell?
4 hours. This is coming from... I mean, dude, I breathe this shit. I love wrestling. But 4 hours of... And then it's like that match is going to be about 13, 14 minutes. And then Sandow and Mizdow is going to be about 10 minutes. So 43 minutes of just promo?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm going to fart again. So it's Stardust and Goldust versus the Usos. I'll tell you this much. It'll be a good match. It'll be enjoyable. Neither one of those groups, though, have the potential of being super over. You know?
I mean, Stardust and Goldust are as over as they're going to be.
As they're going to be, yeah. They're weird and stuff, but I don't know, like, do they sell merch? No. Do they have catchphrase? No. The Usos don't sell merch. Ooh, so, yeah, I thanks. Thanks, that's really, you know, that's great, you know.
Can't they sell those little stickers for your face, like the Sting mask?
Something.
You know, like those temporary tattoos, and then all the kids show up, and it's like, oh, you are at the WWE show.
This is the reason why, too, they need to have a TV title or another title in NXT. So this way, a TV title in NXT that is defended every single episode of NXT. So then this way, during the pre-show, that could kind of be like the reason why you want to be the NXT TV champion, because every time the WWE has a pay-per-view, you get to wrestle in the kickoff. Okay. You know?
And you have a home for someone like Big Cass.
Yeah.
You know, to hone his mat skills, because that's all that he needs at this point.
I would say, you know what, as of right now, I would give it to Sami Zayn.
Oh, Sami Zayn, the guy who gets really close. He's like when you get right up to that girl and you're going to ask her out, and all of a sudden she turns around and kisses her boyfriend. That's what a Sami Zayn
match is. He's Chris Jericho, circa like 2000. Very, very close. And very, very good. But,
well, you know, let's move on to two more good workers.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph Ziggler and Cesaro for the IC Championship.
That's the match of the night.
In a 2 out of 3 falls match.
That's the match of the night. That's going to be 40 minutes. That's going to be old school Steamboat Flair. Just balls to the wall the entire time. The thing that pissed me off on Raw. And yes, I banged on the table in my man cave. Pissed me off. Why did they have that match? Like, didn't they have that match on Raw?
Yeah, they had the match on Raw. They had the match on SmackDown.
And Cesaro won with the one clean.
Two matches for like the last 4 weeks.
Dumb. And then he won clean with a standard, nothing against you, Eddie. I love you. Rest in peace. Eddie Guerrero, European elbow, European uppercut. Like a standard standing European uppercut. Nothing special, no lift into it, nothing crazy. A regular-ass European uppercut. He pinned the Intercontinental Champion with. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you joking?
No, I don't know who... I know they don't decide... Did they decide to finish?
And how many... And I think they do. And how many matches last week on Raw ended in a roll-up?
I don't know.
Were they eating fruit roll-ups during the booking show?
Man, they just take people down, bro.
Awful. That's going to be a great match, though.
Well, you know, the other mid-card title, if you want to call it that, or curse, you know, Sheamus versus The Miz, just a standard match. Do you really see anything happening in this match, or do you see The Miz walking away with the title, pissing Sheamus off, and then Miz now getting thrown into the mix, not as a foil, but more as someone to take the punishment while The Miz just basks in the glory, therefore setting up a Sandow face turn?
That's probably the best thing that could happen. And that's kind of sad in a way. You think about it, like, Sheamus is the United States champion and nobody gives a crap if he wins. That we all want to see what happens between The Miz and Mizdow. So I think that match is an effective one. The finish works if it starts to build some tension between Mizdow and The Miz. And we already saw a little bit of that, because when Mizdow, or Sandow, won this week, he was like, I won, and The Miz is like, I won, da-da-da-da-da, like the beginnings of, you know, what could happen.
But do you sacrifice Sheamus?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, wow, you didn't even pump the brakes on that.
Because my whole thing is, like, Sheamus is fine. Sheamus can deal with a loss. Sheamus doesn't have to have the title to be over as an upper mid-carder. The Miz has zero credibility now, and he needs to have a title around his waist, and Mizdow needs to be involved with somebody that has a title around his waist so he can start to build the credibility that he needs for the push that he needs so he can be in the same spot Sheamus is. There's not a lot of guys in the WWE that could get by without having a title. In my opinion, Sheamus is definitely one of them. Mark Henry is one. Even the Big Show is another one. These guys are like attractions that, like, if they come out, you're like, all right, I know what I'm going to see here. And they don't necessarily have to be in a program to be effective.
Well, the program we have seen, especially on this past Monday night with the Russian flag being being replaced by the American flag, Big Show versus Rusev, where Big Show once again knocks him out and Rusev plays it up like a champ. But doesn't get the win. Doesn't now he's an enraged patriot. What do you do, Patrick Hickey? Who do you cheer for?
Rusev has to win this match. For him, he has to win this match. If this was 7-8 years ago, Big Show's winning, no doubt. Big Show's done. Big Show is like Andre the Giant circa like 1993. He's just there getting a check. People still want to see him, they still love him. He's still somewhat useful. But he's not winning a title, doesn't need a title. He's there to put people over. And I think that's what he's going to do. I think he's going to put Rusev over. And I think if the WWE is smart, they let Rusev throw in a couple of different moves to spice up his moveset a little bit, because that's the one thing he's missing. You're not going to win a title with a spinning wheel kick, a standing super kick, and a camel clutch. It's just not enough.
Do you give him 10 minutes?
Give him 15. I don't think they can go. I don't even think that match is going to go 8 minutes. I think it's going to be in between 5 and 8.
I think this match has to go a little bit. I think it has to go a little bit longer than we would think. Just, one, to make Rusev dangerous. And two, to show that the Big Show is a real legitimate threat.
It's
going to
be boring.
You think so?
Oh, it's going to be boring. Because, I mean, think about it. What does Big Show do? He's going to throw him in the corner. He's going to put his finger on his lips. He's going to slap him across the chest. He's going to headbutt him a little bit. He's going to bring him to the outside, throw him around a little bit. There's just not a lot of diversity there. This is not going to be a Shane Douglas, Too Cold Scorpio 20-minute match back and forth. Not going to happen.
You're on a Too Cold Scorpio kick.
I love Too Cold Scorpio. Most underrated performer in wrestling from like 1990 to today. He could do it all, man. What?
Not Savio Vega.
Savio Vega's up there too. I love watching Savio Vega. Another guy, you know?
Would you sacrifice the Big Show and give Rusev, you know, The Rock, remember The Rock was always a threat, but he became a bigger threat when he absolutely demolished Mick Foley in the empty arena match?
Yep.
Would you sacrifice the Big Show for Rusev?
Absolutely. Yes, 1,000 times yes. Because like I said before, Sheamus is in the same exact category as the Big Show, both of them. They don't necessarily have to win to be credible.
So now, if eventually, he's got to lose, I don't know who he's going to lose to. Right, but you give him this mean streak, he's literally kicking the crap out of the Big Show, and then puts him in an accolade, and the Big Show manages to get up, kicks him down, puts him in, let's say, 3 accolades before getting the tap out. Big Show saves face because it took 3. Rusev comes out as a person with a mean streak who's a legitimate threat to anyone that stands in his way. You think that's how it's going
to
come out?
I think that's the way that it kind of has to. And then after that, then what I would do is I would have Rusev fight, Sheamus for the U.S. title. Imagine if Rusev won the U.S. title, the heat that would be.
They are heroes.
But that's when you try and push Swagger again against him. Because that never ended, really.
You see people up in Stamford, Connecticut? 2 guys right here do your booking. Same. I'll take the check. About a little palate cleanser before we get into with Brie Bella versus Nikki Bella in the Loser Becomes My Bitch match? I mean, assistant for a month.
Does anybody really want to see this match?
No. No, because they're friends on Total Divas. They're sisters, goddammit.
My favorite part of both of the Bellas' whole shtick is their entrances. Brie is like, I've had this conversation with my wife before, and I was like, Brie is the type of girl that you like want to marry. She's so pretty. And then it's like, Nikki's the one that you just want to meet at a bar. And just, yeah.
Yeah. I would, every time she posts an Instagram picture, I hate John Cena more and more.
Oh, yeah. But the bottom line is, Brie is very, very overrated in the ring. I like them both. I think that they both can work, but just not with each other. Nikki's Rack Buster, I like that move. I think it's cool. But I think like Brie is trying too much to be a female version of her husband, and I think it hurts her. I just don't see them working a good match together. I think they could work good matches against anybody else, but I don't see them working a good match against each other. When Brie Bella screams, I'm like, yeah, that's not working.
Oh, that's the Brie mode.
Yeah, I don't know. And her theme song is awful.
Yeah, I thought it was a placeholder, but apparently they released it on iTunes, which means it isn't.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are they saying at the beginning? Oh, it's Brie mode. I get it.
Yeah.
And it's just...
It sounds like T mode, because that's what I do when she comes out. I go to the bathroom.
Well,
okay. Let me not. I'm being rude.
No, I might go to the bathroom on this one. And then you have the other diva on the show, AJ Lee versus Paige.
That's going to be a great match. Both of those two are capable of good matches, and I don't think we've seen the best match out of them two yet.
Do you think AJ Lee is becoming John Cena?
Yes. But I think it's because she has to be. There's nobody else.
Give it to Paige. Oh, wait. She's going to do a Total Divas. Yeah. Never mind.
That's got to be the worst decision that they've made since, like, Vince McMahon and Stone Cold became buddies. That's just a bad idea.
Kurt Angle saved that.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle saved that.
Kurt Angle absolutely saved that. And then the thing is, too, we're in a situation now where there's nobody to save this. It's like Paige goes on Total Divas, she loses all credibility. People like her because she's just like...
She's the Auntie Diva?
Yes, but she's just like AJ, where she's like, she runs by herself. You know, this is why Alicia Fox? That's like, it's like Ted DiBiase saying, you know what, I think I need somebody to hang out with, Steve Lombardi, Brooklyn Brawler, come hang out with me.
Hey.
Why?
Lombardi showed up for every show, whether he was working or not.
Most of the time he wasn't, so. Yeah.
Which is a sad part.
Even when he was in the ring, he wasn't working. I said that out loud. I'm sorry.
So, nah, it's okay. So far, the card's completely lackluster, and then you have the double main event.
Wait, that's it? There's only four matches, like, before then?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my God.
There's eight matches on the card. One is on the pre-show.
Oh,
and you have seven matches on the card itself, and two of them are females matches, which you know are not going to go longer
and
than 5
it's
10
four
minutes.
Hours.
And it's 4 hours for $9.99.
Oh, my God.
JBL, say it one more time.
I'm looking more forward to NXT this week.
Well, John Cena versus Randy Orton. Again. In a cell. Again. No blood this time, because it's PG.
Do we even care?
It's a number one contenders match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. You should care.
Ugh.
Oh, wait. You're going to lose that one.
And it's like, there's no... Since this is the thing. If there was a Brock Lesnar match on this pay-per-view, there would at least be the chance, the small chance of a cash-in. And that, to me, would make it so much more engaging. Seth Rollins is never cashing in.
Not until after SummerSlam.
And who wants...
not after WrestleMania.
Oh, my God. He
has to wait to SummerSlam. Because Roman Reigns doesn't even have a run unless he does it on the Raw after WrestleMania.
Waffle. It's going to be awful.
Which we know has been done before.
Yes, sir.
So, it could be an unsuccessful cash-in. It's okay. I think he'll survive it.
Yeah, I think he'll survive it, too.
But what gets me about this is, you said they can't draw it. They don't have faith in Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins in a Hell in a Cell. Why even have a Hell in a Cell if you can't do half the stuff that you used to in a Hell in a Cell?
And you're going to injure these two guys for what? You're not going to draw any money. Have a submission match, or have a last man standing match, or have some type of Japanese cock ring match or something like that. I don't know. Do something else besides... Hell in a Cell is supposed to be brutal. And they're not going to blade. They're not going to blade.
They're
not going to
thumbtack each other.
They're not going to fall off the top of the cage. So why?
That's not going to happen ever again.
Yeah. So why? And now you're going to have two of them? You're going to kill it. And if they were smart, they would start the show with Orton and Cena.
And space out the matches, right?
Because you're going to have two Hell in a Cell matches back-to-back?
If they're back-to-back, but right now on the card, they're 1 and 2. Those are your 1 and 2 matches.
Yeah, I'd start the pay-per-view with Cena and Orton.
But would you have Seth Rollins come out and try to interfere in the Cena-Orton
match? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not cost Orton the match. Give Orton the title shot. Have him interfere.
To kind of, like, show his side.
And begin the face turn.
I agree.
Because the two heels fighting each other, we've seen it.
A thousand times.
But Randy Orton is still in full heel mode. There's no, you know, right now he's just competing with Seth Rollins. He doesn't have a reason to have a problem with Triple H or Steph or even, you know, Kane or anyone else associated with
this. This is the thing, too. Why is Kane not on this pay-per-view? Why can't you give Kane a match?
I think he's actually hurt. He was fighting through some injuries. I think he could be doing some promotion for See No Evil.
Sure.
Which Dean Ambrose helped promote on Raw last week.
Yeah, which is probably one of the most entertaining segments on Raw this week, to be honest.
I mean, why have this pay-per-view? Why?
It just seems, and this is the thing, the WWE Network, you mentioned this last week, stroke of genius, the genius that you are. Essentially, what you've done is you've created a network that is your biggest strength, but also your biggest weakness at the same time.
So you have to have these, whether it's a show like this or a stacked show.
But then also, too, your pay-per-views mean shit now.
Well, the money that the talent's going to get, you know, already gets cut. Mm-hmm. They're already cutting back on ring crews. What more? When was the last time you saw an original set on a pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks like Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
What's the point of having pay-per-view names if it's just going to be generic pay-per-view A and generic pay-per-view B?
Yep.
You know, the backlash set with the hooks. You know, with the
I used to love that stuff.
You know, or the Night of Champions with the columns. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just the Raw set.
Yeah.
With no ramp.
Mm-hmm. Or like different colors or something like that, yeah. You know? Stupid.
I mean, at what point do you, you know, the stock took a hit today, 7.3% hit today, because one of the chief hedge fund managers said that they're not going to be able to double their subscription rate in time. And part of that is a Canadian TV deal where their version of the FCC is cutting in because they're getting fighting content, which is regulated in Canada. And they're getting original American content on a network that is purely Canadian with no Canadian aspect on it. It's taking a hit. It's not launching as fast as it could in Canada. It's still facing hurdles in the UK and Ireland, which, you know, is one of their second biggest markets out mm-hmm. there. So, you know, I don't see it. I don't see them getting the numbers. I don't see them having the money to finance pay-per-views. Nonetheless, throwaway pay-per-views like this. I mean, what's the point if all it's going to do is cost you money?
It's kind of like running a publication. A daily publication. Every day you need to bring something to the table that could hit, could get traffic. You need to try every day to have like that one piece that you go, this could get retweeted 100 times. I could see this getting retweeted 100 times. I could see this getting retweeted 1,000 times. Or this could be something if I let enough people know, this could be cool. You know? Or this is unique. What is cool? What is unique about this pay-per-view? Nothing.
The sell itself is the selling point, and you're not going to let these guys utilize it.
Yeah.
For that, just have Survivor Series.
It's like eating fat-free yogurt.
Still yogurt, still tastes like garbage.
You know?
Put some granola on that shit, it's still garbage shit.
Yep. It's like, why? If I'm gonna eat yogurt, I'm gonna throw some shit in it to make it good. You know? It's, why?
What is it with us and dairy products?
I don't know. I like to fart. It's a fun experience. Especially in elevators.
I mean, what do you expect out of the go-home show? What should make this Raw so much better that makes you care about these 8 matches?
I expected so much more out of that go-home show, to be honest. It just wasn't there. The first match, that 6-man tag, you just spit up and threw up and took a shit on your hand and put 2 of the matches in one. Yep. And there's no storyline that binds any of those guys together at the same time. It's just a bland-ass title match. And it's like, this is the thing, though. We're bitching about stuff like this now, but stuff like this has been going on for a very long time. It's like SD Jones wrestling in like WrestleMania. You know, David Sammartino wrestling in like WrestleMania. Like, they would have throwaway matches on WrestleManias back in the day too. And it's like, shit like this is just absolutely unacceptable. It's unacceptable. But they do it anyway.
I mean, at this point, you have to think about what your subscribers are going to do.
Mm-hmm. Watch Halloween Havoc from 1995? I don't know.
I don't know. The 1996 match with Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a classic.
You know, it's just, it's one of those where you go, you have the network, they're paying $9.99, they're going to watch Raw, some people are going to watch SmackDown. What's the reason that I have to come back to the network
for
an hour a day? An hour a day, right? Your pay-per-view should be one of them.
Yep.
Your tape library should be the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see them digitizing stuff fast enough. I don't see the pay-per-views running as smoothly as they should.
Yeah, I agree.
I have hiccups.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be totally honest with you. If it wasn't for NXT, I probably would drop my WWE subscription. Because there hasn't been a moment in a pay-per-view yet since I got the network that I was like, oh, crap. You know?
No.
Like, oh, wow, I got to watch that for $9.99 a month instead of $60.
Well, Daniel Bryan winning the title.
At WrestleMania, yeah, that was the only moment.
Yeah. And that was a great moment.
Yes.
Because all those people cheering at once.
And Undertaker losing.
Yeah. And me being gobsmacked at that. For like, I just sat there with my mouth agape until he walked to the back.
Yep.
But,
and even
yeah,
though mine skipped when that happened, and I had to rewind it, and then I got a fucking text message from WWE saying that The Undertaker lost as I was rewinding back to catch the rest of the match. Thank you, WWE.
And they also have to fix their app. The phone app is not as responsive as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gives you messages to buy this $4,000 WrestleMania travel plan. That doesn't include your plane ticket, so that you could get access to everything. I mean, I see where they're trying to make money, but at this point, they're grasping at straws, and this pay-per-view is emblematic of it, and so was Raw. You have a lot of good things that aren't clicking and aren't moving together in the same direction. Or maybe it's that we look at things far too often. Have you ever thought of that?
That's what I think. I think, to be totally honest, I think Raw should be 2 hours. And I think there should be what I told you before. 4 WWE pay-per-views, 4 NXT specials, maybe 1 Divas, like an hour and a half Divas pay-per-view, where you just have Divas matches. And that's it. That's it. And then if you want to throw in 10 and have like a one-night tournament for like one belt, where you have, like, 32 guys, where you have, you know.
You know what? Do the 4 pay-per-views, give me King of the Ring.
Yeah, that exactly.
Give me King of the Ring and Great American Bash. You got 6 pay-per-views.
Yep.
You can make your money off that.
I agree. Instead, you've just watered down the product. It's like my nephew. He's 5 years old. For a really long time, when he was a little kid, he always liked soda, and they didn't want to give him soda. So what they would do is they would pour, like, a half a glass of water and put a little soda in it, and he would drink it, and he would think that it was soda. That's what's happening now with this product. People want soda, but what they're getting is not soda. It just really watered down, and the promo isn't as good, and the stories aren't as good, and the wrestling, for the most part, is not as good. So, it's and this business is ebb and flow.
I think, give them time to wrestle.
A lot of people say, too, that that was the reason why the business went to shit in the first place, in the Attitude Era, because it became all about the wrestling. And I disagree. I completely agree with you.
The problem is there was just enough story in order for you to care about the wrestling.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's the reason why I liked TNA so much in, like, 2004 and 2005. Because you had Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles going out and having 35-minute matches on Impact. That just doesn't happen anymore.
Well, now you get John Cena and
Giffy me.
I know I like to hate on him. I do. But it's because right now he's doing what's safe.
Yeah.
And what's safe for the and they're doing what's safe. What's safe is Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins is your number one match. And you don't believe in these guys enough to let them sink or swim. So you put John Cena versus Randy Orton, who is now a part-time wrestler. Right. You have John Cena who's on his way out. Now you have all these other smaller guys like Ziggler and Cesaro, right? And you got Rusev on the climb, and you have Sheamus and Miz, which could all fill that top spot if you gave them time to develop themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing the safe thing. It's also what we're doing as adults in this country. Oh, I'm not going to risk going out doing what I like because I need to pay my rent and so forth. So we're doing the safe thing.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, as a publicly traded company, that's the best thing they could do. I'm not defending them. I'm just giving you maybe their reasons why. But me as a fan, I am disappointed.
See, this is the thing, too. They could... I completely agree with you. I think that's like... You say smart things on this show all the time, but I think that's one of the smartest things that you've said on the show. But I think that even in the instances where they could take a risk... Like, NXT could be a wild-ass show. That does not have to even be a PG-rated show that is not on TV. They could go nuts on that show, and they don't even do that. That's even a safe show. That's like WWE Superstars back in the day, in the 90s, but with younger talent. Squash matches, barely little storyline, clean wins, basura. And it could be so much better than that.
I mean, look, Mojo Rawley is the epitome of everything that Vince McMahon wants in a superstar. Gimmick that got over really fast. He's the hero. He's the super baby face. Two elbows and a leg drop. So you really need to be champion.
Why would you give a guy like that that bonsai drop thing? Like, that makes zero sense to me.
I don't know.
I'm so happy because he's getting like a gimmick overhaul. I'm so happy about that.
Did you see that little promo he cut?
I think that was his best work that he's done so far.
Yeah. And, you know, make him have shadows of that fun-loving guy.
Mm-hmm.
But make him a threat. Get him and Tyler Breeze to have a fantastic program.
I agree.
Right? And it's just like Sheamus and The Miz, I'm pretty sure. Give him enough time to develop that story, and the program could actually be pretty good.
It could write itself.
Yeah, but they don't. They shove it down your throat with 2 weeks to go. You had 5 weeks to this pay-per-view, Patrick. 5 weeks from the last pay-per-view to build a story.
It just aggravates me.
Yeah, you got AJ Lee and Paige with the same exact gimmick fighting against each other. And you don't care. What's the point? What's the point of paying $9.99 if you're just going to tune in for a glorified Monday Night Raw?
And this is the thing, though, too. You're absolutely right. And this is the thing. It's like, since we only paid $9.99, think about it. If you're watching 4 hours of NXT and maybe like, let's say on the safe side, and I know we're probably on the higher end of this spectrum, but anywhere from 10 to 15 hours of WWE programming for the month. So we're talking like 20 hours you've watched a WWE network in 30 days. That's a fair assumption for the average person, you know, like 45 minutes a day average. And not going, you know, we're not talking about some days that you watch 3 or 4 and then not go, and then you'll go like 2 or 3 days without watching, you know? Think about it. So you're paying roughly like, what, like 10 cents an hour or something like that? 25 cents an hour to watch it? It's a huge, huge bargain. And because of that, when the pay-per-view comes and the pay-per-view is shit, you say to yourself, eh, I only paid $10. So you don't, and most people don't even care. And that's the problem, though. You should care even more.
It's your money. It's your money directly. This is the way to vote with your dollar in the most direct form that I have seen for a publicly traded company. This stock fluctuates more than it should for a company that's been around this long on the stock market. The problem is it's a product that no one else is involved in. And it's billions of dollars getting fluctuated every day, or at least millions of dollars every day. Because one man decides to yell, puke, when I say puke, you puke.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and that directly impacts his company, you know. We see in NXT that the guy that he has lined up could handle it, right? But you got to take some of the kid gloves off, and they're starting to do it. I mean, when they got the case back and you had the vibration coming out of the case, that was an Attitude Era joke.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
For him to come back and go, it's an electric razor. And, you know, it works.
It was good. Yeah. It was off-putting. It was off the cuff. And I liked it.
And it just...
died. They didn't go anywhere with it after, though. Yeah.
You know, I was like, yes, I like this. Mick Foley, you shouldn't... Listen, I like Mick Foley. I like The Rock. But those are band-aids to a problem.
Absolutely.
You know, they're not going to come out on paper.
It's like you don't put a tissue in a hole in your arm that just got bit by a zombie. You don't do it.
Why don't you just cut the arm off before the infection spreads? Too much Walking Dead, my friend.
I'd love to see Cesaro versus Ziggler for, like, the world title in an Iron Man match. Something like that.
Going into overtime.
Yep.
Give them each two falls.
And I'd love to see Tyson Kidd versus Adrian Neville for the United States title or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't it ironic that the people we want to see with the title are never from the United States?
You know what it is, too? It's like, there's not a technically sound guy that's like in the WWE that's American right now. Think about it. They're just not there.
I mean, Ziggler, but the only reason we like Ziggler is because he sells.
Yeah.
You know, it's not because he's an amazing technician.
He sells his ass off, and he's not scared to put somebody else over when he's the guy that should have been put over a long time ago. He's a team guy, you know?
Yeah, but that team guy doesn't get you...
I agree. He's got to be a little bit more selfish. He's got to pull like a CM Punk and be like, listen, if I don't get my shot, I'm getting the hell out of here. You know?
Yeah, where do you go?
TNA. New Japan.
Him and AJ Styles. One.
That's money.
Ziggler would be overmatched.
Of course he would, but it would still be a great match to watch. Yeah. And the Bullet Club doesn't have like a face, really. Who's opposing the Bullet Club?
No.
Ziggler comes in, long blonde hair. That fan base will be like, holy crap, they haven't seen anybody like that. That flamboyant and that over the top and stuff like that. They'd eat that shit up.
And you know he'll sell a beating from the Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah. So it's like MVP. In WWE, he was a talented upper mid-carder, but he was Black Dynamite in New Japan, and he was the shit. Yeah. And it was like, Albert, okay... in WWE, Tensai he had a bunch of different names, you know, in New Japan, tag team champion, he was legit.
What is it that these guys, I know exactly what it is, they don't look like champions.
Yeah.
They don't. Does Albert look like a champion?
No. See, but that's the thing though, too.
They got him in a suit on NXT, and it's the most awkward looking thing ever.
Yep, I agree. Japan, they don't really care about, like, what the guy looks like. They care about, like, his heart and what he's able to, like, do in the ring. If he's willing to, like, bleed, sweat, scratch, claw, that's what they like. You know? It's the reason why Benoit was so big in Japan. You know? And Guerrero and Malenko and all those guys.
Perry Saturn, people like that.
Yep.
And it makes me yearn for days like that, you know, where the cruiserweights were the ones back in the shows, right? But those days are long gone.
Yep.
The cruiserweights are not small guys, you know. They just did that to give them a title.
Yep.
You know, with the days of Billy Kidman coming out and giving you a great show for no title are gone.
Yep.
I mean, his matches, spectacular matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, even Disco Inferno for his inability to put people in a headlock was at least entertaining. You know, and he was at least entertaining. But I wonder where they're going to go after this. I wonder if we will be pleasantly surprised and maybe we'll get a good Raw.
For
maybe.
This to work, for this pay-per-view to be somewhat memorable, there's got to be, somebody's got to come back. Something has to happen that we don't expect.
It's not Wade Barrett.
No, it's not. It's not Wade Barrett, it's not, I don't know, it's not Batista, it's not, you know.
The Dudley Boys, but that'll be on the pre-show.
Oh my god. What's all this stuff have you been hearing this stuff about Stone Cold talking about a comeback?
Yeah, come back to the gym. He was just trying to get back. You could see on his broken skull challenge, my man can't run anymore. His knees are showing it. His neck is not 100%. I don't expect to see him in a ring. He's done his time.
Even broken, would you still want to see him wrestle like Punk?
I would, but it's not going to happen. Listen, they left AJ off the cast of Total Divas just because of that.
Yeah.
He doesn't want cameras around him. He'll come back when he's good and ready, because I know the itch is there. It has to be there, right? I gave up doing my martial arts, but every now and then I pick up, you know, the stuff, and I want to do it. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's just the motivation has to be there, and that would be a factor in him coming back. That would be a factor for each guy coming back.
I would love to see Punk versus Lesnar. That I think would work.
But do you really think Punk is a threat?
He's beaten him before.
I know, but at this point, with this whole gimmick, the way he's going right now, do you really think that's a threat?
Like, if he comes back and says, like, I didn't even want to come back, but this place has turned to such shit that I have to come back to save this sport kind of thing, that would be interesting.
Oh, so he pulls an Eminem.
Yeah.
He comes back to save sports entertainment.
Yep.
You know what, that would go with the gimmick, and if this has been one giant work to get him over like that, that would be, one, amazing. Because he's, like, ignoring people in the crowd in Chicago. He just doesn't want to deal with shit like that.
Yeah, on Twitter.
And, yeah, and, you know, he's become someone who wants his privacy, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I would just rather see him and Daniel Bryan, to be honest. Or I would just rather see him and Kenta when he gets called up.
Oh, let's not even talk about Kenta. They've destroyed him already.
He hasn't even gotten a good shot yet.
So. He's been there a month. He hasn't done anything. They haven't even given him a shot. I mean, it's like you got this prime ass piece of roast beef, and instead of getting the best sourdough bun that you could get and putting it on there, you get funaki, aka spoiled ass mayonnaise, and you just splatter it all over.
But don't worry, Devin's going to debut with him, I think, this Thursday.
I hope so.
But why would you put these two guys together when they should obviously be in opposition to each other?
Oh, I agree. But then, see, what that does is you have them battle the Ascension together, and then you have Devitt turn on him, and then you have them feud.
Okay, fine. And that's old school superstar thing to do, by the way.
It is. Yeah. But, I mean, that's the only way. And they have to. You showed me some of the face paint the other day. They gotta let him do that in WWE. That's like his. That's his thing.
And I just think, you know, you have two people wrestling in a similar style. I think the NXT crowd will eat it up. We all know they're eating up Sasha Banks. I will eat her up like a salted caramel piece of candy that she is.
The thoughts of Juan de Jesus do not represent the thoughts of ReviewFix.com and its partners.
Oh, man, Jesus, Sasha Banks. She really, they gotta give her a bell.
We've talked about her before, like,
at
she does it, man. She has it. That back cracker into the crossface is beautiful. Her mannerisms on the ramp, she has it. She is a more polished performer than Charlotte.
But Charlotte has that X factor.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a flair.
Yeah, and, you know, it's in her blood, but there's something about Charlotte that you like
Oh, I love Charlotte.
But and that you like to hate.
Yeah.
At the same time. She's like that girl that's like, she's not super hot. But she's hot enough where you're like, I'm jealous.
Yep. And she's good in the ring. She's pretty smooth in the ring. But there's just something about Sasha, man. She has it. She has the look. She has the moveset. She's got it. I think she eats
protein bars. She eats Quest protein bars, which are my favorite protein bars because they're her favorite protein bars. but I think the whole Bailey feud works better with Sasha. I'm glad that I really wanted to see her win the NXT Women's Championship, but I would think it would come more her taking it from Sasha.
I agree, because like it's like Bailey is so good, and like Charlotte's a bitch, but not as big a bitch as Sasha. Sasha is the queen bitch.
Yeah, and I just want to bow down to that one.
Oh my god.
Even though I should be bowing down to Charlotte, because that was the former name of her move.
Yes.
But it's Sasha Banks. She's gone through. Put me in a crossface.
Oh my god. Awful. Oh my god. So final thoughts on Hell in a Cell?
At this point, I'm looking more forward to NXT on Thursday. I really hope Rollins at least makes Orton's life a little bit difficult in order to set that up correctly. And if John Cena does get another match, I will expect it to be more competitive. But I still hope to see Lesnar win. Brie and Nikki, frankly, I want to see Nikki win just to see how Brie will react. just to see out of morbid curiosity. I want Miz over Sheamus. Rusev, you know, is going to win. Paige, and let her be the champion for a while. Please give her at least a 2-month reign. At least. Gold and Stardust over the Usos. I'm kind of tired of the chat. And Ziggler. Because I don't think Cesaro will benefit from the IC belt yet.
I think in order for that Cena-Orton match to be memorable, we need to see another variation of the RKO. I love that powerbomb variation from a couple of weeks ago. I think we need to see, like, a unique variation of that move that, like, works only in the Hell in a Cell. I think that Iron Man match is going to be the match that people remember from that pay-per-view. Same thing, I'd like to see Paige win and get a run. And I'd like to see her sacrifice Alicia Fox in that win. So she goes on her own for a little while. Stardust and Goldust over the Usos just because the Usos had their run and they proved that even though they can work in the ring, that they're not going to be a difference maker in the tag team division. Sheamus, I like to see Sheamus over the Miz just for the fact that like I want to see Sheamus hold on to the title because I don't think it helps the Miz to win that title. I think Sheamus wins, but there needs to be some drama between Sandow and the Miz that builds for a feud between them. What else? What other matches are there? Oh.
Or Brie and Nikki and Rollins.
Brie and Nikki, I don't give a crap. I don't care what happens.
You don't even want to see Brie have to bow down just to see how she'll react.
I'd like to see Brie put Nikki in a camel clutch. How about that?
That'd be awesome.
Rusev is going to be Big Show. Yeah. Absolutely. No doubt. And I'd like to see Ambrose get very, very close to a win and just beat the living crap out of Rollins, but Rollins find a way to squeeze out so they could squeeze a little bit more out of that angle because I think that there could be a bigger payoff than the Hell in the Cell. And not a bigger payoff than the Hell in the Cell, but a bigger payoff than the PG version of the Hell in the Cell.
Would you like to see Emma come out and challenge Paige?
Only if Paige has an iPod case that Emma could steal.
Oh man, they really should run with that. They really should run with that. I said it to my friend at work. He goes, "You know what? Turn your weakness into a strength."
Like one of the divas go, "Where's my brush?" And then Emma has it like stuck in her hair, and it's like, "I don't know."
And then she's so hot too.
Oh, yeah, I've told you, people have told me that I've seen her up close. They said that she is by far the best-looking diva out of all of them. I can see it.
Oddly enough, not on Total Divas.
Yep.
Maybe because they think she'll steal the camera.
Maybe. Or steal the tape.
All right. You know what? Where is my wallet?
Has Emma been in your house?
I really wish that was the case. Because right now it's just me and Vader.
Vader's in your house? There.
Yeah, my dog Vader.
Oh.
And he's just licking his balls right now.
Just like the real Vader probably is somewhere right now.
He's like, I find my lack of flexibility disturbing.
Thanking God that he's not in an Iranian prison for talking shit on TV. Imagine that you get arrested for talking shit in Iran. Big, tough, badass Vader must have been crapping his pants. Calling Vince. Vince, please! Please, get me out of here! Vince is probably like, dude, you popped your own eyeball back in one day. You're a tough son of a bitch. You can deal with that. He's like, this is an Iranian prison. They're gonna shove
my... There's a guy here named Limbe, and he wants to live in my Limbe.
He's gonna shove my eyeballs at my ass. Like, oh my God.
And the guy just leans over and goes, it's time. It's time. It's Limbe time.
Oh, it's so sad that we've resorted to making jokes about Vader being sodomized just 3 days before a WWE pay-per-view. Vader, I apologize.
But he could probably still kick our ass.
Oh, absolutely. I'm running, and I don't run anywhere. And if he... if I see that guy, I'm gone, big. But anyway, for Patrick Hickey Jr., the Caucasian sensation... And Juan de Jesus.
I have dog treats that come in a container that looks like little pig sticks.
And you shoot them across the room and you make your poor dog run across the room.
He doesn't run after them. It's the worst fucking
He just
holds it. He looks at me like, are you serious? You just hold it in your hand.